Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And we're here today with Cy Wakeman. She is the president of CyWakeman.com. Cy, thanks for being on the show today.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
You know, you have a book that is titled Reality-Based Leadership. And I'll repeat, Ditch the Drama, Restore Sanity in the Workplace, and Turn Excuses into Results. You sound like the golden holy grail, the panacea. Can I always read that title? And I said to myself, how's she going to do that? So talk to us about your book.
Absolutely. My book was actually the result of being a leader in the workplace and trying to utilize a lot of the tools that HR and leadership development classes offered to me and realizing, quite frankly, that some of the techniques they were asking me to do didn't work, and most of my leaders weren't using, and I was so frustrated by drama and the energy that is being sucked out of the workplace, not going to positive results, that I started to come up with some techniques of my own, and they really worked. They helped us produce results and really ditch the drama in the workplace. And so the book gives you all those techniques that we know for sure truly work.
So define a little bit for me, if you would, because I think it seems obvious, but sometimes I recognize that, you know, what is common sense sometimes is uncommon. Define drama and why it's kind of toxic in the workplace today.
Sure. The way we define drama is any energy or effort that's not creating positive results. So any energy or effort not creating results, not creating or strengthening great relationships, not leading us into learning and accountability, anything that's not creating ROI. I believe in the workplace that our effort, our talent, should translate quickly into productivity and into building value. And drama is any energy that's not doing that. And it's absolutely toxic in the workplace. One of our studies found that the average employee spends 2 hours a day in drama, 2 hours of their workday going not towards results, not towards return on investment, but actually taking away from their own value in the workplace. And that's a huge number when you multiply that by every headcount that you have working on your team.
Do you think that the influence of social media and the fact that everything is immediate access to everything all the time has increased that number? Because certainly I've heard numbers in the past that seem a little bit less than that. Not that I don't doubt it, because I absolutely agree that that certainly sounds correct. Tell me a little bit about some of the factors maybe involved with this.
You know, I think with social media, it has increased the effect, because I believe that in social media, we vent without having anyone coach us on how to take that venting and put it to positive result. So it's one-way venting rather than two-way coaching. But we actually know it's about 2 hours a day. One of the studies we did is as we implemented an electronic medical record in a hospital environment, we had people who actually went into the rooms and observed physicians and how they spent their time. Now, we knew that physicians spent X amount of time with patients and X amount of time dictating, and the system was replacing their dictation methods, and the physicians were making the case that this would slow them down. So not even to look at drama, but just to look at their productivity, we put people in the exam rooms and they documented how much time the physician spent on the computer and how much time they spent focused on the patient. And within minutes, those observers called me and said, Cy, we need a third column to document how physicians spend their additional time. And I asked, what was that third column? And they said, we need a column that documents the significant amount of time that physicians spend not on the keyboard, not on the patient, but complaining about the keyboard or the patient. And that was remarkable because it was about 2 hours a day out of their shift that we were actually able to document just by observing. And we thought maybe physicians are whiners. So we went out and we looked at lots of other groups, and we found out that that really is the average, that we spend arguing with reality, walking around going, this is sick and wrong, and resisting, and using our powers basically for evil rather than good in the workplace, bringing other people down and gossiping and doing what I call BMW driving, which is bitching, moaning, and whining.
Well, you know, it's funny. I heard that, obviously, at a convention where I heard you speak. And I absolutely love that terminology because you're absolutely correct. It is the BMW of complaining, no question about that. You know, one of the factors that comes out of this is the fact that men and women do have differences in how they perceive and have different factors that outside, you know, cause dissatisfaction in the workplace. And a lot of people don't talk about this, but I know it is a factor. So tell me your take on that.
You know, when it comes to gender differences, both people participate equally in drama. It's just that men and women experience it differently. What men do when drama is involved in the workplace is they tend to just disengage. So if you come to them with drama, they tend to have two types of people in their lives, people that get it and people that don't get it. And so what men do is they tend to just kind of write you off as somebody that doesn't get it, and they keep their world pretty small. And this hurts collaboration, sharing of knowledge, innovation, and really makes for the haves and the have-nots, and creates a lot of bottlenecks on projects. You see a lot of IT folks, male-dominated groups that basically are horrible about sharing information and collaborating. For women, women really seek connection, and so women tend to dwell on situations longer and create some pretty big stories about what's happening and shy away from what the facts are. Both genders do create drama. Both genders are involved in drama. One tends to try and engage heavier, the other one withdraws. But we think the number one commonality they all have when it comes to what causes their disengagement or dissatisfaction is their belief that the reason they can't get something done is their circumstances. And as a reality-based leader, we know it's never your circumstances, that circumstances aren't the reasons you can't get something done. They're the reality in which you must get something done. So rather than use them as reasons to raise excuses, we talk a lot about owning your own accountability and your choices, that that you really need to learn that suffering is optional and that suffering is an absolute choice. Dissatisfaction is a choice.
Well, as you know, and as I know, there are many different types of personalities in the workplace. And certainly there are some that certainly complain more than others. There are some that, you know, certainly just hold it all in and don't say too much. Does it play a factor in some individual personalities in terms of the way you're looking at this, not only from a gender perspective, but by somebody's personal type?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about personality types in the workplace and respecting that level of diversity. And what I hear people often mistaking is that somebody who's either extroverted or gregarious, they're the drama kings and queens. But we need people to be very clear. Drama, energy focused on negative rather than positive outcomes, comes in all flavors. Some of it is very quiet, it's passive aggressiveness, it's sabotage, it's lack of collaboration. Some of it comes in the form of being a martyr and, you know, feeling like you're the only one that does anything in the office. And so it really comes in all flavors. Your personality is really just what flavor your ego and your drama show up in. But drama leads to emotional expensiveness, which decreases value. And every personality has the tendency towards drama unless they're being coached and personally practicing some techniques to ensure that they're limiting their own drama.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Are you in sales, or do you own your own business? If so, I want you to think of a number. Think of the amount of money you'd like to make this year. Do you have it? Okay, so what's stopping you? It's not your drive. It's not your skills. Chances are, it's your ability to find new leads. It's not easy. But what if, with one phone call, you could actually get your hands on as many new sales leads as you could handle and actually make that number you have in your head? It's not too good to be true. It's Sales Genie from InfoGroup, America's leading provider of sales leads, plus money-making email and direct mail solutions. No matter what you're selling or who you're selling to, Sales Genie has the sales leads you need. Right now, they'll give you a free trial just for calling. Call Sales Genie at 1-800-991-8440 and get your free trial. Call 1-800-991-8440. 1-800-991-8440. Again, that's 1-800-991-8440.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Cy Wakeman today. And Cy, again, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
You're welcome, David.
You know, we're talking about your book, Reality-Based Leadership, Ditch the Drama, Restore Sanity to the Workplace, and Turn Excuses into Results. When we're talking about leaders that are out there, how do they really learn techniques that they can use to ditch that drama with their employees, because it's everywhere?
It absolutely is everywhere. And what we teach leaders is the techniques to use are in the moment. They are just 5 to 10 minute types of coaching techniques. And basically, it's asking great questions and engaging people's critical thinking and getting them focused back on the facts or reality. So I think first understand what techniques to use. Let's take a quick look at how people typically get into drama. So let's say that an event happens. I'm in sales support. I open up an order the sales team put in. And the facts of the situation are simply there's information missing. Not at all stressful. In fact, my job is sales support. I'm to seek out orders, find information missing, plug it in, add value, and get that order flying through manufacturing. But what happens where drama creeps in is the minute I start judging, I'm not helping or serving. And so as I open up that order, instead of just looking at the facts and saying, gosh, information missing, what could I do to add value and putting my energy there, most people start to create a story. I have to do everything around here. Sales is lazy. They get paid the big bucks. This place would fall down without me. I'm surrounded by idiots. And once they start creating that story and believing it, it affects their morale. They're stressed, their morale's low, and then it does affect their behavior with customers, where they throw sales under the bus and say, sorry, they have to get this from you. And it affects our results, ultimately, in the business. And most leaders tend to work on trying to make sure that that event never happens, or the process, or scripting and teaching customer service. But reality-based leaders know that it's all about changing mindsets. It's all about getting people to see reality and make better decisions. So one great technique we choose is simply the question, what do you know for sure? And what could you do next that would add value? So if someone's coming to me and they're very frustrated about sales and they have a story in their head, I go, what do you know for sure? And the only thing they know for sure is there's some information missing. Everything else is judgment. And then I just ask them, what can you do next to add value? And it's call the customer and get the information. And then, great, let's do that joyfully without suffering, because suffering's an option. So it's great questions. The second question we use a lot is, what did you do to help? So when somebody comes to us and says, do you have a minute? and they begin complaining about another department and how they're failing to provide the necessary ingredients. Instead of colluding with that employee and sympathizing and agreeing that they're a victim and we're all at the mercy of the other department, leaders need to call people up to greatness and saying, you know, gosh, it sounds like IT is having a difficult time. What are you doing to help? And really call people to stop BMW driving and use their energy to create different results to help with the solution. So great questions really are the key to changing in the moment the energy going from negative to positive.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about changing the direction, and you do hear people say, well, that's not my department. That's not my, you know, I'm not supposed to handle that. I have no effect on IT. I have no effect on, you know, another department. Talk a little bit about how you direct, that leader to then think about that next step of still keeping that redirected.
Sure. A lot of people say it's not my job, and I absolutely agree with folks. It's not your job. Your role, however, is to do whatever it takes to serve our customers, to make sure our patients are well cared for. That doesn't always mean you go do IT's job for them. That means that you go ask IT what you can do to be more helpful. Let me give you a real situation. They'll seem to help people understand. One day, I came into the office, and one of my top performers, who was great, but she tended to get righteous and believe that she did everything well, and the problem in the world was everybody else. And she asked if I had a minute. I said, sure, what's up? And she went into telling me that IT had done a data conversion over the weekend and had taken their computers down and had not been able to bring them back up, and they had screwed up the project, and they didn't plan for risk. And I just stopped her, and I said, I am so excited that you are in here sharing your concern for IT. It sounds like they had a horrible weekend. And then I said, knowing that they were really struggling, what did you do to help? And just had her identify the hundreds of options she could have done, come in over the weekends, call to see if they needed any hands on deck, keep her people from calling the helpline hundreds of times. And she realized that. She said, you know, nothing. I have done nothing. And in my department, everybody has on their badge the question, how can I help? And so I joked with her a little bit. I said, do you have your badge? Let's go find Karen, your IT connection. And we went and found Karen, and I said, Karen, Tammy was just in my office sharing her concern about your weekend. It sounds like it really went tough. And she has a question for you. And I said, Tammy, ask Karen your question. And Karen listened while Tammy said, you know, how could I help? And by gosh, Karen had a lot of answers for Tammy. She said, when we asked for volunteers for the weekend and you didn't deliver any from your area, that wasn't helpful. And then I could go on to coach Tammy. What would be more helpful in the future, and what's your plan to deliver on that? It's in that moment as leaders that we call people to higher ground. We are not two separate departments. We're one company. You may not be able to go program that computer, but you certainly can ask those who are doing it what you could do that would be more helpful than what you're doing right now. And then listen to what they have to say and then follow the simple instructions.
When you're talking to an individual and you're saying, you know, you need to really take the time to redirect, do you find that that's easy for a leader to understand, or sometimes do they seem a little bit nervous about either thinking that it's conflict or feeling that, you know, I'm not sure this will work? How do you coach them through that process?
You know, first of all, we kind of look at what their true fear is, because usually they say that they don't have time to do that, when in fact it's that they lack courage. It takes so much time to manage victims and to deal with all the stories and the colluding. And so we go back to kind of the source of the issue, and most leaders are confused about their role. They believe that they can build loyalty and engagement from their people through sympathy, which is, you know, feeling sorry for, agreeing with, and basically, you know, colluding with folks that we are innocent victims. And leaders need to first work on their own view of the world, which is why the first three chapters of reality-based leadership is all about the leader working on themselves. But they need to understand that their job is to lead with empathy, and empathy is, I see that you're in pain, and I'm going to call you to greatness, because be very clear, your pain is not from your reality. It's either from the story you created or your lack of readiness to move forward in different directions, so it's a great learning opportunity. And so what I find is that if leaders will just try some of these simple questions, very simple techniques in the book, that they really find relief quickly, where the drama subsides and they see immediate positive results, and it really changes things for them, so that there's a lot of good consequences to using the techniques over and over. So if we can just get them to do it the first time, it works, and they love that.
You know, this is really great information for not only leaders, but also for HR professionals. Talk to me a little bit about how an HR, you know, generalist or engagement professional can really use this approach to bring together an organization.
You know, I didn't start out in HR. I got drafted into HR, and what I was a bit amazed by were all these super smart, well-intentioned folks that ended up doing things that hindered rather than helped at times. So HR could become very enabling instead of really focusing on hardwiring accountability. And in fact, as I worked in HR, I saw a whole trend that we had erred on the side of, you know, focusing on engagement, and that our approach to engagement actually was flawed. I started out as a therapist, and I spent years teaching people who got better and were happier in their lives that happiness has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has to do with the amount of accountability you take for your circumstances. And yet in HR, we survey people. We say, what's wrong with your environment? And then we run off to try and have managers and folks fix that on behalf of the employees. And so our philosophy is very freeing for HR in that they don't have to fix things. They don't have to be responsible. They aren't trying to buy the love of the employees. They're simply helping employees understand how the world works. And in my new book, The Reality-Based Rules of the Workplace, we translate that for everybody. Here are the five rules. But back to engagement, we believe that engagement without accountability creates entitlement and chaos, and that it actually ultimately leads to more disengagement, as people believe they don't have control over their circumstances and that they're at the mercy of their circumstances. So we have a whole different approach to engagement. When we do engagement surveys with our reality check survey, we survey engagement and then we ask accountability questions. And the respondent, although anonymous, gets an accountability rating that then their engagement data is filtered through. So if somebody's high accountable, we turn up the volume on what they're telling us about the workplace. If they have a concern with senior leadership, we listen closely. But if somebody's not accountable, on our engagement surveys, we ditch the drama by filtering on accountability level, turning down what the victims are saying, turning down that volume, so that you don't have that corrupt data when you're trying to find out what is a system issue, an environment, and needs to fix at the organization level, and what's an individual accountability issue. So we actually help HR work on both sides of the equation.
No, that's great. And this is really great information. You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
OnStar Center.
I just woke up and my car was stolen.
I hate that you had to call us under these circumstances, but I'll be happy to assist you. Are you in a safe location?
Yeah, the car was in the driveway. My wife's car was behind mine. I come out to get the newspaper. Her car's out in the street. So they pushed her car out to get to my car.
Do you have the stolen vehicle report number?
550.
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
Police Department.
I have a location on a stolen vehicle. It's just off of Bridler Brook Court. It's stationary.
Thanks, OnStar. We have 3 units going out there.
This is Pete.
This is the OnStar Center. We have located the vehicle. Police, you'll be contacting you shortly.
Okay, thanks so much.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now, you can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
I'm in a state of caffeination, got all my fingers shaking, must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we are talking with Cy Wakeman. She's a dynamic keynote speaker, and she's the president of CyWakeman.com. You've done a lot of speaking across the country, haven't you? And certainly I heard you at the New England Strategic Conference, correct? I think it was that you spoke
at. Yep, absolutely.
And that was a great event, even with the hurricane.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, we were talking to Bud and Heather, and I asked them if they can, are they going to plan to whip that up for this year's conference, if they can do another hurricane. I'm not so sure they liked that idea too much, but it was fun. It was fun.
Exactly. I'm back at Maine this year and New Hampshire, so we'll have a lot of great time to talk about reality-based leadership.
No, it's great. New England Law Publishers is a sponsor of the show, and certainly CMA Career is going to be at both events as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to and certainly look forward to seeing you there. You know, we're going to be talking a little bit here next about what I find interesting, and hopefully the listeners will also find interesting, is the fact that you like to turn conventional wisdom on its head. And one of the pieces of advice you give to leaders is something, as an HR professional, you rarely ever hear, and it says to actually play favorites. So can you tell me what you mean by that? Because that certainly is unconventional.
You know, absolutely. And as I was an actual leader, I found that my reality was I did play favorites. And in fact, within a few weeks of me taking over a team or a unit, I would be accused of that. Somebody inevitably would come up to me and say, Cy, you play favorites. And I would say, you know, yes, I do. Would you like to be one? Because there was room for everybody to be my favorite, and I didn't play favorites based on vanity that people were like me or thought like me, or play favorites for illegal reasons, whether, you know, we shared the same background. I played favorites based on people stepping up and succeeding in spite of the facts. So my favorite people were highly accountable, great at change, really driving for results, low drama, emotionally inexpensive. And I've noticed that as we are working to include everybody and have everybody feel great about the workplace, we've stopped differentiating and therefore stopped highlighting what leads to success and what doesn't. So I tell leaders, play favorites. Just make sure that anybody who exhibits all those great competencies are a favorite, and that will be easy to do. You know, another conventional wisdom I heard a lot when I took over a unit was keep your door open. And that was another one I studied. I actually researched it. It was a horrible advice. I got nothing done. And I found out that no one ever came in my open door to tattle on themselves. Not one person came in and said, please help me with my performance.
You're right.
Yeah. And so the average meeting was 45 minutes in length. At the end of it, they asked me not to do anything because they didn't want to take action or be accountable. And so I believe in shutting your door and coaching everybody. Everybody has something to work on next. So we really attack those conventional wisdoms and that we've been spouting and make sure that they really work and that they're true and that they add value to the workplace.
When you're talking about favorites, you're certainly not asking people to treat people differently. You're really talking about, the way that they have behaved in exhibiting the behaviors that are good for the business, good for the organization, good for that, and rewarding them by giving them maybe the treatment that they deserve for that position, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, for instance, work from home, a lot of people want the benefit and then on the promise of results. And the way I allowed people to work from home was based on their past results. If somebody said, my mom is ill and I'd like to be home with them, you know, is that okay with you? It was so easy to say to a high accountable, absolutely, because I knew that high accountable would be online at 2 in the morning trying to get an internet connection in some parking lot. So people need to understand that if you want to be valued in an organization, add value. If you want to be a favorite, then, you know, act like a favorite would. Use that same behavior.
In your book, you talk about the relationship between personal accountability, which, by the way, I as well as am a huge proponent of, and the happiness at work. Tell me about the correlation between the two and tell us about some of the myths that surround this disengagement in the workplace.
Sure. You know, many people believe that their happiness is related to their circumstances. And as a therapist, what we learned early on is that happiness is related to the amount of accountability one takes for their circumstances. So every day I get up and there's problems in my circumstances. It may be, you know, something I could choose to find unmotivating. But whether or not I'm happy, whether or not I'm engaged, is really a choice. And that's where I, in my philosophy, differ from a lot of folks, is that engagement is a choice. And let me give you an example of that. And it's a non-work example. But what I've realized is when I'm thinking like a victim, I'm unhappy. And when I'm taking accountability, I'm happy. I suffer very little. I was at a grocery store recently, and I was really excited to have my same old grocery clerk that checked me out quickly and didn't make a lot of chit-chat, and I just knew she's an old pro and I'd be out in 5 minutes. And at the last minute, she went on break and introduced me to this new checker. And instantly, I found my happiness decline because I was thinking like a victim. She was slow, and I'm thinking, why would HR hire this person, and why do I have to train them? And I'm trying to show her how to line up codes, and I realized I was miserable. And then I changed my question, used John Miller's accountability, you know, QBQ. And when I changed it, it was, what could I do to make this go faster? And I started doing those behaviors, and my happiness increased. The minute I got in the victim mindset, my happiness decreased. Same checker, same situation, same groceries, two levels of suffering, one happy, one not. And the only difference was whether I was accepting accountability for my own goal, which was to get through quickly, and taking actions that have impact. And that's the way it is in life. Many people are happy in the same situation that somebody is unhappy. It's not the circumstances. It's the amount of accountability one takes for their circumstances.
No, I think personal accountability is key, and that works at all levels of the organization. It's not just for an employee, but it's for the senior leadership. It's for every level of the organization that they need to project the confidence. They need to project the direction. They need to project the absolute understanding that we're all one team and we're working together for a common goal and getting this done.
Absolutely. And knowing that in any organization on a given day that won't happen, but only 100% of the time, and choosing to be accountable anyway, that you're immune from or bulletproof from, you can succeed anyway when all those humans seem to be, you know, failing you. And when we talk about accountability, we usually talk about why it's good for the organization. But what I tell people, it's your way to be happier at work with the same job, the same boss. You can actually enjoy it, and you're in control of that. That's the ultimate empowerment, is to know that regardless of my circumstances, I can be really excited about work.
You know, in the book, Reality-Based Rules of the Workplace, you give 5 new rules that employees would be best to learn and live. Can you explain those five rules and their importance?
Absolutely. So the new book comes out April 30th, and it's available for pre-order right now on our website. And as I talk to leaders, they found my approach so revolutionary and so usable and quick to change that they kept asking me, where's the book for the employees? Can you help us teach our people the new reality? And so we distilled it down into five rules that the rules have changed. Your reality has changed. If you want to add value and be successful going forward, you need to learn these rules. We didn't create them. We're just reporting them. And by accepting them and living by them, playing the game by them, you will be happy and you will get great results. So rule number one is what we just talked about, that your level of accountability determines your level of happiness. So stop hoping to be lucky and choose to be happy. And it really gets down that engagement is a choice, trust is a choice, that so much more than we ever thought of is within our influence, control, and impact. The rule number two we've talked about as well, suffering is completely optional. You will go through a busy schedule today one of two ways, with joy or misery. Same schedule, suffering's optional. And the quicker people can understand that their suffering usually is from their own stories, not their reality, they can then ditch the drama. The third rule is that buy-in is not optional, and that our actions, not necessarily our opinions, add the most value. And that's a real new one in the workplace, because everybody wants to give their opinion, but the valuable people can take any decision, mitigate the risk, and use their expertise to make it work. Rule number four is that the most valuable employees are the most willing. And so rule number four is say yes to what's next. Change is an opportunity. Once and for all, people need to quit saying that their personality isn't that great at change. We know that the people who are good at change do not have a certain type of personality. The people who are good at change are ready. They've kept themselves developed. They are ready and able and competent to move into new realities, and they're able to say yes to what's next. And then lastly, rule number five is that you always have extenuating circumstances. There'll always be reasons you could fail, and that you need to succeed anyway, succeed in spite of the circumstances.
When does this book come out again? So we make sure, and where can people get this?
Absolutely. It comes out April 30th, and we've got an exciting offer at CyWakeman.com. If you pre-order the book for yourself and employees, and we have a lot of companies just ordering 1,000 copies for their employees, for the price of the book and our delivery, you get an entire year of employee coaching videos once a month. Videos are sent to your employees that are 15 minutes in length and cover one or more of these rules. And so by buying the book before January 31st, actually we can extend that for your listeners. By buying the book, you actually get an entire year of employee training professionally taped direct from me.
Wow, that's great. That's a great offer. We will make sure that this offer is going to be on the HR Power Hour website. That's hrpowerhour.com. And so that somebody can certainly link to that after the show today.
Perfect.
You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
I love Maine, and I'm interested in Maine news.
But I want it quickly and simply.
All in one place would be good.
You've just described a great website.
Really?
MaineNewsSimply.com.
Maine news.
Three words. MaineNewsSimply.com. Go to the site and I'll explain. MaineNewsSimply.com collects news as it happens from news sources all over Maine. It's compiled and presented online in an easy-to-read format that keeps you up to date in just minutes. MaineNewsSimply.com is for people on the go who want the news of Maine fast, anywhere, anytime.
I'm on, and you're right. This is exactly what I asked for.
Discover what thousands of Mainers already have. Maine News Simply, the free online website and daily newsletter loaded with headlines and stories from close to 50 news sources.
Maine News Simply looks great, easy to read, current, interesting. I like it.
Try it today, and while you're there, sign up for the newsletter. It's all free. Three words, MaineNewsSimply.com. The smarter, faster way to stay on top of the news in Maine.
We'll be right back. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Cy Wakeman today. Cy, I really have appreciated the opportunity to talk with you today about such an important issue. And again, your book titled Reality-Based Leadership, Ditch the Drama, Restore Sanity to the Workplace, and Turn Excuses into Results sounds wonderful, and certainly I know I've heard you speak before. Well, one of the things we are going to talk about as we go into this last segment is you do a lot of speaking around the country. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about some true employee values, but do you have some upcoming speaking that you can talk about in terms of where people could come and see you, or where they maybe could go to your website and find out about where you speak?
Absolutely. The sessions that you that are open to the public are at cywakeman.com, upcoming appearances. But some ones for your HR listeners, I will be at the National SHRM. It looks like we're doing a mega session there. I will be at the Talent Management SHRM in April out in Vegas. I'm going to be at the Maine SHRM, the Tri-State SHRM, the New Hampshire SHRM. So just getting a lot of great opportunity to talk to HR audiences. And all those dates are out there, but the best place to catch me is at one of your local SHRM conferences, and if you're part of planning a SHRM program, you know, please give us a call. We're glad to come out and support the HR professionals in all the areas.
Well, you know, I've heard you speak, as I said in a segment earlier, and I tell you that, you know, if you're out there looking for a dynamic speaker, this is one that you can certainly have in front of you. And so, Cy, I got to tell you, you did a great job, and I'd be happy to say from an endorsement standpoint, I think that you provide a really good program for people to listen to.
Oh, thanks, David. I appreciate that.
All right, so we're going to have this last segment, and what I think I want to talk about is a little bit about the unique view of the true value of an employee that you bring. And you kind of explain your employee value equation and what it means for leaders and employers in today's workplace in the book. But kind of tell me a little about it here on the air so that people may understand what this whole process is about.
Sure, and I go into it in even greater depth in the new book, Reality-Based Rules of the Workplace. But again, as your listeners are starting to probably pick up on, as I was a leader, I would take some of the tools that HR gave me and find that they didn't necessarily work in my reality. And I would work to fine-tune, not to reject or critique, but to take what HR had to offer me and to see ways in which I could improve and better utilize them. And that's where the employee value metric came from. We talk a lot about employee performance, how folks are meeting current expectations. And I found often I was giving people average to high performance ratings when, in fact, they were kind of a pain in the butt. They may have given me some good results, but I was always asking myself at what cost some of my high maintenance and what I came to call emotionally expensive folks ended up on the right-hand side of that bell-shaped curve when it came to performance. And so for me, performance became a very limited metric. Another reason it's so limited is a lot of times in the organization, we have a lot of people performing, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, 3, 4, and 5, the very same year that our results for the organization overall are lackluster or even disappointing. And it just wasn't connected or correlated. And it got me to thinking that maybe the performance metric was not the best indicator of whether an employee could add value to an organization. So that became an area of study for me. So here's the new value metric. When I want to know how valuable somebody is overall, how much value they add over and above the cost of them, which isn't just the salary and benefits, here's the metric I use. It's three parts. I believe that your value is your performance. Are you meeting current expectations? How are you doing today? Plus your what we call potential, which is, are you ready for tomorrow? That's your learning and development. Are you keeping up to date? Are you growing quicker than the demands of your customers and your markets? So it's your performance plus your potential, and that is what you give the organization. But the equation does something different. It takes your performance plus your potential, and it subtracts out the true cost of you, how emotionally expensive you are. And that's your drama quotient, your freakout factor, your passive aggressiveness number. So we look at, are you performing today on a scale of 1 to 5? Are you learning and growing on a scale of 1 to 5? And we take that number, and before we know your total value, we subtract out your emotional expensiveness. But here's the catch. Our research indicates that emotional expensiveness has 3 times the value of your performance. There's a multiplier effect in it because your emotional expensiveness affects so many people around you and even your organization's brand. So a look at value is not just what you give the organization, it's the total cost of you.
You know, employers, HR professionals, business leaders that have high potentials, or hypos as we like to say, these are top performers in as an organization, usually do have what you called them, people who are prima donnas, people who do an amazing job but are high maintenance. And a lot of times people or leaders feel that, well, this is kind of the price we have to pay for getting a top performer, and the risk of, quote, losing a top performer for an organization, whether it be on the sales side or on productivity side, really inhibits a leader or an HR professional of doing anything about it. And so how do you bridge the gap between, you know, some fear, and that is, maybe it's a very legitimate fear, especially if that salesperson is a, maybe let's say, third or 25% or maybe even 40% of an organization's, you know, sales, for example, on a revenue standpoint, or has a knowledge that necessarily nobody else has, which is a separate issue altogether.
Sure.
But you know, how do you bridge that gap? Because that's a reality for many small businesses when they have 4 or 5 people and one of their key players is a high emotional drain.
Sure. First of all, we have to really get clear on what the reality actually is. A lot of people tell me they're my top salesperson, and then they go on to tell me the rest of the equation, that they sell a lot, but their sales are actually very expensive. And so we have gotten into the illusion that these are our top people, but when you really look at the total value equation, many of your top people are your solid citizens. I was a top salesperson at one time, but my sales were expensive to the organization. I tended to hold all my sales until they ran a spiff and then dump into the system. I sold science projects rather than our off-the-shelf stuff. Everything I did involved, you know, screwing up inventory and, you know, costs extra for shipping. And so I got all the sales awards, but when you really looked at whether I was your most valuable player through this equation, what people started to realize is they probably lost money on every sale. So to keep saying that I was a top sales player and they needed to do whatever to keep me was a story, not a reality. So that's number one. The second thing, if we aren't coaching our top performers on emotional expensiveness, we're not only robbing the organization, but we're robbing them because they're top performers, but they're not happy top performers. There's a lot of unhappy top performers out there. They're martyrs. They're righteous. They're not loving their jobs. They may be performing well. And I coach leaders that instead of moving from silence to violence or passive aggressiveness, you take their great number in performance, and you just add on the and. So I'll take a high potential and say, I love where you're talented in these areas, and I really want to take you to the next level as a leader. So we're going to start talking about how to increase your value and really work on this number, the emotional expensiveness number. And it really is getting them to just ditch the drama and end suffering. And everybody wants out of suffering. So if you do it with a lot of respect and you know, acknowledgement of the great things they do bring to the table, and if you just clean up a few pieces of this noise, you will really be able to skyrocket. Most people are grateful for that development, and in fact, high performers leave because they seek development opportunities or they seek places where they can achieve their full potential. They don't leave because they're coddled and treated as a prima donna. That's a high-risk strategy.
No, I agree. Sai, how can somebody get a hold of you to learn more about the resources that you have to kind of, you know, get in touch with you about talking about some of these challenges that are out there? Tell us a little bit about where they can do that.
Absolutely. If you email us at info@cywakeman.com, go to the website, cywakeman.com. We have not only just ways you can contact us for information, but we believe the world is abundant. And we have a ton of content out on that website, blogs from my Fast Company and Forbes writings, lots of video. It's free for the taking, and each month we give a free webinar that if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get an invitation to. And join the dialogue, join the discussion. If you want for your organization training, coaching, leadership development, strategizing, then feel free to contact us directly through that info@cywakeman.com email.
No, that's great. And certainly, as I said before, we will certainly have this segment, this show, as well as how somebody can get a hold of you on our website, hrpowerhour.com, right after this show. And Cy, if you could repeat one more time the special offer that you're going to be providing, and we'll make sure that people know about that.
Absolutely. The new book coming out, Reality-Based Rules of the Workplace, How to Boost Your Value and Be Happy at Work, is coming out April 30th. If you want to jump in and pre-order multiple copies, you can, for the price of the book, get an entire employee video training program, 1 year of monthly videos directly from me that cover the topics in the book.
No, that's great, and we appreciate that very much. And Cy, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. You've been a great guest, and I look forward to seeing you at one of the conferences that are up and coming.
Perfect, David. Thank you. You run a great show.
Well, thank you. A quick notice to our listening audience. CMAKorea.com is now offering Career Workspace for Individuals. It is a special version of the corporate Career Workspace online career portal that is now available to individual job seekers. Are you struggling with your job search, frustrated with having to go to multiple sites to search for job listings, or tired of looking at page after page of search results to research a company? Go to cmacareer.com, go to Career Workspace, click on the individual tab, and get more information. And now the HR Power Hour Tip of the Week. I want to remind people, if you're in a job search, is your email being filtered for spam? Don't let incoming emails that may be coming from potential employers end up in your trash. Make sure you're checking your spam filters, your junk mail, so that you make sure you receive any potential mailings that may be coming regarding your job search. This happens more often than not, so please take the time to set up your email correctly. This has been the HR Power Hour Tip of the Week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Julie Arsenault. She is the account executive for the Portland Press Herald, the Maine Sunday Telegram, and Monster.com. She's going to be talking about the changes over the last 5 years in career fairs, as well as also whether or not it is still viable an option to advertise for a job in a paper. Next, we're going to be talking to Steve Stevens. He is the president of Stephen Wellsprings Group, an EAP, or Employee Assistance Program professional, who does nationwide EAP programs. He's going to be talking about what they are and why they're important to you and your organization. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 AM or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.